Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ever the great teacher, Jesus gives his catechumens the same lesson today in a different form. We ought to forgive one another so that we might be reconciled to one another. But most importantly, we ourselves need to be reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father, who forgives us our debts for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered upon the cross for the sins of the world. And so, being children of the Father in heaven, we also are called to forgive. Peter's question gives Jesus the opportunity to offer up the parable of the unforgiving servants. We might be like Peter sometimes. Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? He does the same thing over and over again. He never says he is sorry for what he does. There doesn't seem to be any genuineness when he does say, I'm sorry. Do I really need to keep giving forgiveness? When is enough enough? You and I both know it's easier to give forgiveness when the person who committed that sin against us says they are sorry and that they mean it. But perhaps we should take a step back. In today's world, repentance, confession, and absolution are all confused. And Peter, along with the disciples, didn't seem to understand it immediately either, as this question reveals. We heard last week that God takes sin so seriously that he sends his men, his spokesmen, to announce these warnings of what will befall because of sin. Acts of sin bring judgment. And if the warnings aren't heeded, then it will fall on all our heads. That day will not end well for the sinner. So we need to be told and we need to be made aware of what our sins are. We need to know how God defines sin. Now, we know what that is. We talked about that last week. We know what sin is. It's when we fail to listen to and believe God's word. Now, of course, we always need to be made more aware of how we're breaking God's word. But we learn these things by listening and taking to heart his very word, learning more about his Ten Commandments, which serve as a guide by which we know our Lord's will for his people. And with these words, people of the Lord learn how to act towards him and towards their fellow neighbors. Hence why the commandments can be summed up as follows. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the truth, though. You will sin against those in the world, and you will also be sinned against. So what do? Will you seek forgiveness, and will you grant it as you pray in the Lord's Prayer? Jesus gives a deep dive excursus on the commandments in the Sermon on the Mount. He gives the Lord's Prayer, and now here we are, where Jesus talks to his disciples about when they are going to be sinned against. No matter the context, disciples of Jesus are called by Jesus himself to go to the person who committed the sin and to call that sin out that was committed, calling the sin by its name. And once the sin is recognized and the one who committed the sin recognizes that they have indeed committed sin, they should ask for forgiveness. And you and I should grant that forgiveness because it is the Lord's will to forgive. He wants us all to be reconciled not only to him, but to one another. We hear this in his word as we learn more about the forgiveness that he grants to us. So we keep going. We need to be made aware of these things. When we sin against someone else, it's difficult to repent of if we don't know it to be a sin in the first place. But however, ignorance of the law of God does not a good defense make at the last day. You're still liable for the consequences of your actions, even if you're ignorant of the law. So it's better to be made aware now and seek that forgiveness that God offers. But if we don't know that we're committing sin, we won't seek that forgiveness that God offers in his Lord, in his saving Son, Jesus Christ. Just look at the world right now, the abominations that have come just in the last 10 to 15 years. And it just keeps on going and going. Very few call these abominations in the world sin. But God does. But many in the world remain willfully ignorant, stopping their ears when the message of the watchman is proclaimed. They will face the consequences, and we will too, if we do not repent of our own sins and seeking forgiveness. Our Lord and God does not desire the death of the sinner. That is well established. In his great mercy, God the Father has given his only Son, Jesus Christ, as the one who stands in your place, taking into himself the punishment of death and hell that should be for us all. He takes into himself the debt that we owe. He comes proclaiming that God is reconciling himself to his creation to himself, through the work of Jesus at the cross. Forgiveness of sins come to you by the cross, where the blood of Jesus flows freely. But you and I continue to keep on sinning. We still transgress against the Ten Commandments. And we do not repent. We are still sitting ducks for the hungry serpent seeking to devour his next victims. Let us hear and heed God's word. What's awfully troubling is that we know better, or we ought to know better than the world. We confess that we are children of God by holy baptism. But what the world continues to say, we go along with. We don't really stand against it too often. And when we do, we're usually afraid to. We allow our children, even our grandchildren, to follow in the ways of the world far too often. To do things that are contrary to God's word, and then we wonder what's going on. We fail to act when we have the opportunity to, within the vocations that God has placed us into, to warn of such consequences, of such blatant disregard of God's word. This is why Jesus takes sin and forgiveness so seriously. Sins which go unchecked cause pain, not just to the person who commits the sin, but also there's collateral damage around them. A so-called individual sin, which we believe shouldn't hurt anyone else, causes a lot more hurt than you and I could ever imagine. And thus, leading others into sin as well. And we heard what should happen to someone who causes a little one who believes in Jesus to sin. Repent. For we all have left sins unchecked. We have failed in hearing God's word and identifying sin as sin. We have failed to seek out our brothers and our sisters when we have been wronged, or when we have wronged them. We've tried to cover up our own actions and deeds, or we have sinned against someone else. Here, the Lord God makes you aware of your debts. And our debts, just like the man with 10,000 talents, are too numerous to count. Unfortunately, the practice has all been but lost. But when Luther lived, he went to private confession. He announced his debts, his sins. And he got to hear just how merciful his God and Lord is toward him for the sake of Jesus. We confess in the small catechism that knowing our sins, especially the ones which pain our hearts and our consciences, should be confessed to the pastor in a private setting so that we might receive absolution for that specific sin. This is why it's important to name the sins that we confess. We might have that forgiveness specifically applied for that particular sin and thus be granted peace, the peace of Christ Jesus. And so, you get to hear in your own very ears the gospel of Jesus for you, for that sin. We are like the ones with 10,000 talents of debt. We have sin up to our eyeballs. We can't pay what we owe. But we do have a very merciful judge. And we cry out, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And God, in his great mercy, has had that mercy. He shows it to you each and every day for the sake of Jesus Christ, who came to pay what we could not owe, paying not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood poured out for us and for the world at the cross. You have been loved much. Let us now give thanks to God with prayer and praise, living in the way that brings pleasure to our Savior. There's something to praying a prayer that asks that our lives bring glory to our Lord. And how has God brought glory in this world? When brothers live in unity together, when we are reconciled to one another, where sins are forgiven, let us forgive those who sin against us. When our hearts are changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus, we can and ought to forgive those who bring us pain, suffering, and grief. A sinful heart will not forgive, for the heart made new in the image of Christ will. The Lord has shown you mercy, and by that extension, you also will show mercy. For you are children of a Father who is merciful. For God did not send Christ only to pay for your debts, but Christ paid the debts of all mankind. Christ died for the sins of that person who has sinned against you. So forgive them as they sinned against you. Now, it's hard to do because we are still sinful and we are still sinned against. But we have a God and Lord who calls out to us, ask, pray. It is an act of faith to forgive someone else. Help us, Lord, to forgive. Help us, Lord, to forgive the brother that does not seem to need or want that forgiveness. Let us be more like our Lord, who cried out even upon the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's true mercy being showed to you and to me. And that mercy is still shown to you here as each and every day we get to receive our Lord's body and blood for the strengthening of that faith which he has given to us, that we might be made ready to forgive when the time comes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.